This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Infected.
Welcome!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the world of The Infected. Yes, it is time. We're here, and it's the two of us. Finally, standing on the bell tower, I was able to get Hof to come back down from the dark clouds that he was sailing through. And he is here, together with me. Good to have you, buddy.
Yeah, back from the dead. Thanks, man. Good to be back.
Awesome.
Really like it.
We're going to kick ass, and we have some great tracks lined up for you. I got a sneak peek at some of Hof's selection. Let's dive right into it. If you'll allow me, Hof, I'll open up the show.
Please do.
And we're going for an oldie immediately, back to 1983, to a band called Shriekback, with a song called All Lined Up. Shriekback were an English rock band, formed in 1981 in Kentish Town by Barry Andrews, formerly of XTC. Well-known, and League of Gentlemen, and Dave Allen, who was formerly in the Gang of Four. So the two of them had many band members over the years, including, by the way, the infamous Luc van Acker, who joined Shriekback in 1984 and would later go on to become a founding member of the Revolting Cox, along with Ministry's Al Jurgensen.
Wow.
But enough name-dropping. Let's get the beat dropping.
Reaching out to the earth, you see.
It's been a while since I've heard this track, Jeroen. And also surprising that we haven't covered Shriek Back until right now in season 4. But great pick, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's crazy, but this is an awesome track. And yet, as a single, this was only a minor club hit in Australia, reaching number 39 on the Australian charts. And in the UK, Lined Up was released twice. Second time as a remix, and it peaked at number 89 in the charts initially, and then it improved with the remix, and it went all the way to number 78 for the remix. Unbelievable. So you'd think that this would be a smash hit, right? I mean, it's just groovy as hell. It's a really great track, but somehow sadly overlooked at the time in 1983.
Yeah, they do have taste in Australia, and the beat is nice, danceable. Yeah,
cool stuff.
Funny that you chose this track. I used to own this album on vinyl. We just talked about this while listening to this track. There are two tracks of this album, Oil and Gold, on the movie soundtrack of Manhunter, made by Michael Mann in 1986. Back when Michael Mann was still making Miami Vice, he made another movie in between. Crazy good. Right atmosphere, but also the soundtrack, by coincidence, features two tracks of this album. It's Kula Kent and The Big Hush. Yeah, nice to hear this one.
Oh.
Again.
I guess it's us and Michael Mann, three guys with great taste, right?
Yeah, I think so. And the Australians.
Right, because they appreciate that stuff. So what did you dig up for the show, man?
I'd like to tee off with one that we can listen to immediately. If it's up to me, it's Clan of Xymox.
Yeah.
The track is called Michelle.
Awesome.
Why I chose this one, you and me were at the concert in the beginning of January, right? In Utrecht. What did you think of at the concert, man?
Now, the concert was great, and I can really recommend anybody to, if you get a chance, to go see Clan of Xymox live. I mean, this is a band that has been around for ages, more years than I care to count. I remember this album, Medusa, coming out and being impressed with Clan of Xymox, and I was no less impressed when we saw them this year, early 2023, together here in the Netherlands. They still kick ass, and they have a great sound, and they are really approachable. They make a lot of contact with the audience. Super concert to see.
They play at smaller venues, I see. They're now touring the US and Canada. I follow them on Instagram and Facebook, so I saw it. So they're quite active, man, still. Selected, the consistent factor is the singer, Ronnie Moorings. But we were also at the concert of The Cure in Ziggo Dome in Amsterdam in December.
Yep.
I must say I really liked Clan of Xymox much better. It was much more intimate, the energy was higher. Like, The Cure is obviously legendary, but they played a lot of slower songs, newer songs that I didn't really feel. Then the classics came. It was a kick-ass concert in the end. But Clan of Xymox was also the newer tracks, by the way, that I really never listened to, in all honesty. I used to have like 3 or 4 albums of them from the 80s, and then I lost touch. But also the newer work is really recommended. Again, I picked an older one, Michelle. Shall we?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Infecting Classic.
How late?
Powerful, short, right energy, just under 3 minutes. A classic. Man, I'm just a sucker for the tempo and basically also the sneering guitars. Like, their newer tracks also feature a lot of synthesizers. Great by me, but if you ask me, I'd rather have some guitars with a lot of reverb and a lot of echo and the deepness. And the final thing that I wanted to comment on is that Clan of Xymox do have the tendency to pick female names as track names. Yeah, you have Jasmine and Rose, this song, Michelle. And the more famous one is Louise. They also played that one in Utrecht. And then the roof got lifted off of the venue. Yeah.
This track and this whole album makes me think of late night driving on the highway in the late 80s, going to a party, playing this music really loud, getting in the mood. I love the track.
Good, 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 good. I hope our listeners do too.
Install Outcast. It's time to get into some more recent stuff. 2021. This is FM Attack and Vandal Moon. It's a combination of two acts, Vandal Moon being Blake Voss and Sean Ward, a Canadian duo from Vancouver. On this track, they collaborate with FM Attack, who was one of the pioneers of the synthwave genre, who started it all in 2009. So this track, Seance, was written and recorded live in Vancouver, BC on Halloween. As they say, on the record themselves, spirits were channeled from the afterlife in this recording.
Hey Jeroen, Holy Mac, I didn't know this song before. I used to know like FM Attack and all those bands you just mentioned as quite poppy, going for the cliche retro vibe. But this is a much darker. Some singing in between there, some guitars. It's a really nice combo, dude.
Yeah, it's an interesting duo from Vancouver, Vendelmoon. They have this real 80s feel. They're not afraid to bring in the atmosphere. And the good thing is that from the part of FM Attack, you get some really great production value, some additional sounds which open up the soundscape and make it much more interesting than your average post-punk song. So the combination is one that works.
It definitely works, like the electronics of FM Attack, yeah, with some claps, some energy boosts, and then the guitar work and the singing from the other guys. Yeah, totally works, man.
So if you like it, a year ago they released another track together with FM Attack. It's a single called Cry Cry Cry. It's also very, very worthwhile. And this one is also a single, but they also have a full-length album, Vandal Moon, called Queen of the Night, which is also worth checking out. It's a concept album about being young in a world that's falling apart.
I hope our listeners discover new music through us, but I also discover new music through you. It's a win-win situation, man.
The Infected.
And I think the next song is something that I never heard of, which you managed to find. So do enlighten us. 6th June.
6th June, yes. Shall we start it in? The song is called Trust. It sounds much older than it actually is. It's from 2020. Referring back to FM Attack with those clap sounds and those high energy synth sounds. These guys do the same thing, 6th June. You hear the clap sound if you hear the next song. It's a Lindrum sound. It's basically featured in a lot of 80s tracks, but not really in the new wave or dark wave genre that we're familiar with, but it's kind of refreshing. Let's hear it.
So, Trust by 6th June. I had never heard of these guys, so this is quite recent, actually.
It is. And it's also, I think these guys are part of the movement that started around 2007 or 2008. You had a lot of revival bands that tried to emulate the great vibes of the early 80s and the dark side of that, to be honest. Like bands like Zeno and Oaklander, Void Vision, She Passed Away, that we also saw a concert of.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? In Utrecht, same venue.
Great Turkish band, yeah.
Lebanon Hangover. And yeah, they all have their own take on the old themes. And this one, the bass is nice, the energy is good. I don't know. Yeah. Just found out about it by accident, to be really honest with you, maybe half year ago. But these guys, 6th June, they're from Berlin. Husband and wife, I'm not sure. It's a guy and a girl, maybe lovers, Laszlo and Lydia.
Wow, it's just two people. Amazing.
And they don't put out a lot, but they do have, I believe, three albums or something. Sometimes with these newer bands, yeah, they don't do a lot of interviews. They put out some tracks, you know what I mean, Jeroen?
Yeah, and we can still appreciate them.
Exactly.
What I was really impressed with is this band is that the singing made me think of Depeche Mode type harmonies every now and then.
Oh, I definitely understand what you're saying, yeah.
But what I really liked about the band was the integration of the guitar and bass in what is really sort of a synth wave track. And you see many synth wave bands that have no original instruments at all. It's just all synths and drum computers.
Mm-hmm.
They've really nicely integrated the guitar and the bass in their synth wave sound. Mm-hmm. So I was impressed by this track.
Thanks, man. Indeed, there's a lot of mood. There's no filling up empty spaces. The track unfolds as it should. It's really smooth. I did do some research. I googled all the 6th of Junes from the last century. So what events have occurred that could even make them choose this band name? Well, it's basically two that I found out.
Uh-huh.
So the game Tetris, you know that?
Yes, Tetris.
Nintendo Tetris. It was launched on the 6th of June in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And also on a 6th of June, Kennedy was shot. For the rest, no clue as to how they picked the band name. Maybe that's the day they met or something.
Both would have been cool references. And yeah. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Lastly, about these guys, check them out. They have a YouTube channel and they also make their own videos. So Lydia, one of the two band members I just mentioned, she's an actress. They make their own music videos as well. So kind of like film noir feel. Goes really well with the music they make. They basically do everything themselves.
Awesome stuff. So on our website, theinfected.nl, we'll find the show notes for this episode, but we also include all the video clips of all the tracks that we play.
Yes, indeed.
Go check it out. www.theinfected.nl.
Infect me.
So we're going to go with a track by a band called Tones on Tail. The track is called Go. It's the club mix. Now, Tones on Tail is a pretty weird name for a band, you'd say, but it's actually a reference to the way that the music was recorded back in the day. They had these really big reel-to-reel tapes, you know, which they used for recording music. The way to make sure that you calibrate tapes where you have several tracks recorded on different tapes. At the end of the tape, you had a couple of tones that you could use to line up the tapes to make sure that they were properly synchronized. So that's where Tones on Tail, that's where the name came from.
Wow.
They were formed in 1982, and basically they were originally a musical side project of Daniel Ash, whom I'm a big fan of the gothic rock group Bauhaus originally.
Oh yeah.
In Bauhaus, he invited his flatmate, Glenn Kempling, to be a roadie, and they were mates. They also lived together. They started recording music together while Bauhaus was also still touring. And then eventually, after the breakup of Bauhaus in 1983, Glenn and Daniel were joined by Bauhaus's drummer Kevin Haskins, and they became a trio. That's how they ended up as Tones on Tail, and we're going to be listening to Go, the club mix, from 1983.
put yourself down, you'll never win, get out of that hole. Keep your mind up, your head up, you'll never, ever get old. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. The fists inside your head, 'cause your fists are doing nothing for you. Keep your head up, your mind up, you'll always, always come through. 'Cause living it up is a big deal, it's good for you. Swap your dull grey thoughts for busy march, you can stand up too. Don't put yourself down, you'll never win, so let's all smash through. Through the fear of being real, through the fear of being really you. 'Cause living it up, it's a big kick, it's good for you. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Just listen to this. I've never heard of it. When I think of Bauhaus, I think of the stories that, man, the lead singer bites off allegedly, or is even on video, the head of a bat on stage, right?
I've heard that one, yeah.
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 This is quite minimal sounding for a club mix. If you think of a club mix, you think of like housey, danceable stuff. It is danceable.
1983, man. They didn't have house music back then.
No. If you think of a club mix, it must be a club like the opening scene of Blade or something, you know, where the blood sprays down and the vampire starts eating the public. It's nice and moody, quite minimal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Good energy.
Actually, it was a B-side of a single, and they never expected it to become so popular, but it did become a hit in dance clubs, or let's say gothic or post-punk clubs. The sample of the track's name, Go, which you hear somewhere around 50-something seconds, is a very popular sample used in several different songs. For instance, Girl Talk used it in What's It All About, and DJ Fresh used it in The Immortal.
Okay.
But most famously, Moby used the sample to use in his 1990 dance hit, Go.
Wow.
So this is the Go,
dude,
that you're hearing, Go by Moby.
Oh man, that track goes so deep, like Go for Moby. Also with that Twin Peaks theme going on.
Yeah.
I didn't make this connection. Listening to this track, I didn't pick up on it, to be honest. Fucking cool.
It actually also made it into a couple of movies. It was featured in the 2003 cult film Party Monster, which is a movie with Macaulay Culkin. You know, if you miss it, don't worry too much about that. But it's also featured in the feature film Gross Point Blank, which is definitely much more worthwhile.
Gross Point Blank. Shall we make that a movie section for the next episode, perhaps?
Well, you'll have to go and watch it, because we need to know if it's goth-approved, right?
Yeah, I should. But is it, in your opinion?
I haven't seen it. I just know that this song is featured on the film's soundtrack. It did get a pretty decent rating at IMDb, so it might not hurt to check it out.
Hey, cool. Cool story. Cheers, bro.
Sure.
The Infected.
Shall we lighten it up a little bit? Yeah, we got some really deep and moody tracks behind us right now.
Yes.
I want to play something by a Yellow Magic Orchestra.
Yes.
Are you familiar with them?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'd totally forgotten about YMO, man.
Oh, dude, me too.
You're bringing this back from the dark depths of my remembrance, and all of a sudden I was like, yes, YMO, I used to love that.
Right? It's kind of jumpy, poppy, synthy stuff. Of course, you had Kraftwerk in Europe. They started way earlier in the beginning of the 70s with their experimental electronic devices and equipment. But then a few years later came Yellow Magic Orchestra. They originated from Japan in Tokyo in 1978. And you may know one of the three founders at least.
Ryuichi Sakamoto.
He is called Ryuichi Sakamoto. Yes, yes, yes. And he made a... he made several movie soundtracks when they split up, Yellow Magic Orchestra. They only existed for, I believe, around 5 or 6 years. And Ryuichi won a Grammy and an Oscar for the soundtrack he made for the movie The Last Emperor, a very famous one.
Yeah.
But Kraftwerk was a bit more, if I can compare them, I think I should compare them because it was, they were both one of the founding bands that made the electronic music came alive, and a lot of people got inspiration from. Then you had synth pop, then you had house music, and it all originated basically with maybe Kraftwerk and Yellow Magic Orchestra. But Yellow Magic Orchestra are a bit lighter than the industrial sounds of Kraftwerk. Let's listen to it. The track is called UT, by the way, short for utility. Let's dive in and enjoy.
great Ryuichi Sakamoto and his friends at the Yellow Magic Orchestra. God, I love that.
Indeed, indeed. And even though I mentioned they were much more lighthearted than Kraftwerk, which they were for the first three albums, the fourth album that they did, this track is from. The album is called BGM. It's another abbreviation, just like UT, yeah, the song, Utility. BGM stands for background music. I found out just by using some Google.
It definitely does not sound like background music to me.
No, man. This quite fits within our genre, right, Jeroen?
Yeah.
That we'd like to feature here. I did listen to some other tracks on this album. BGM is from 1981. It's their fourth album, and it's 1981. And this album is more like focused on more atmosphere and mood versus the poppy and jumpy stuff. What we should do, Jeroen, in the show notes that we're going to put on www.theinfected.nl, mm-hmm. I also have a YouTube link I found out. That it's a live recording of a concert that they did. It's insane. You see Ryuichi Sakamoto between walls of synthesizers that you can now not even afford or find.
Yeah.
It's insane. You have sweatbands. They have sweatbands on their head. You have the biggest drum kit you ever... It's an insane big stage.
Great setup, yeah.
They were huge. And Europe discovered them later, but yeah. Check it out if you're capable. Check our website. Mm-hmm. Also, a fun fact, final one maybe. It featured the TR-808, the Roland drum computer TR-808, for the first time.
Ah.
So that drum computer was just released later on. It became a huge, iconic drum machine for hip-hop and early house music.
Yeah.
And it was featured by Yellow Magic Orchestra for the first time. TR-808. TR stands for Transistor Rhythm. Another fun fact.
Cool.
Completely analog, of course. If you look at the time, it's a late 70s drum machine. Hey, man. Yeah, that's it.
Cool. Yeah. Birth of the 808.
808, baby.
You witnessed it here.
Yep.
Together with us in the Yellow Magic Orchestra. Did you see the serial killer series Hannibal?
Hannibal.
Hannibal.
Is that a documentary series?
No, it's a serial killer series. It ran for, I think, 3 or 4 seasons.
But tell me.
The final episode is, I think, from 2015, off the top of my head. But the creator and the showrunner, Brian Fuller, was an enormous Susie and the Banshees fan.
Aha.
And somehow he found out that Susie also was an admirer of Hannibal. So when he heard about this, Fuller wanted to try to get Susie to record a track for the show's finale. There were only 2 issues. Susie was retired. She had not set foot in a studio or even written a song for over 8 years. And the show was in its last season. NBC had already cancelled it. And it was running on 1 other international network. And still, Brian Fuller went to the 2 network bosses. And his pitch was, yes, I know the show is cancelled, and it is absolutely unheard of for a showrunner to come back to you and ask for more money for a show that has no further revenue potential for you. But this is Susie Sue, and it would be her first single in 8 years, and it would be such an honor. And both networks said, yes, we understand, absolutely. We'll split the cost right down the middle, and we're doing this because we love you, we love the show, and we love Susie. So, Susie Sue ended an 8-year songwriting hiatus when she contributed to this track, titled Love Crime, to the series finale of Hannibal. Her haunting, strings-laden track was directed by the show's music supervisor, Brian Reitzel, which is the reason that it sounds so it's much like a movie soundtrack, this track. He said, I just want to work with you so badly. And she asked him, well, if you could put it into a sentence, what is this season about? And he said, well, in essence, it's a love story. And then he played some strings he composed. She said that this piece was the first thing that she heard in years that inspired her to do anything. So she then wrote the lyrics without seeing any footage of the current season. And just because she was a fan of the show, it worked absolutely perfectly. So this is Love Crime by Susie Sue and Brian Reitzel. And it's the amuse-bouche version. Thank you.
Cinematic indeed.
Don't you think? It almost has sort of a Shirley Bassey-like quality at times.
Yeah, most definitely.
I liked it.
Yeah, with those strings in the background. So this is from 2015. Her voice is sounding great after all those years performing and doing things.
Right.
And especially after an 8-year hiatus.
So this is just a small morsel, an amuse-bouche. Basically, that's a single bite-sized, more intensely flavored course. Usually a small one, which is just one or two bites and selected by the chef, offered free of charge to all present at the table in one of the better restaurants. And this is an intensely flavored morsel from Susie for all of us, which she, as a one-off, did in 2015. If you look at it on Spotify, it'll say 2022, mm-hmm. Because it surfaced on Spotify only then. But this is from the Hannibal soundtrack. This is Hannibal and Will's love theme, as heard in the final episode called The Wrath of the Lamb. It's called Love Crime. And I'm super excited to hear Susie, because I know that you and me are going to see her soon, man, this year.
I just looked it up because we have quite some concerts, my friend, lined up. It's the 4th of May in Paradiso, Amsterdam.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Looking forward to it. Sounds really good.
Definitely.
Excited. Yeah.
Obviously, one of the absolute icons of the post-punk genre, Susie Sue. Looking forward to seeing her. And that is basically it. That's a wrap for this show.
I agree, man. I must say, this was very fluent.
Yeah. This didn't hurt at all.
Just like go with the flow. We made some notes and we interact a bit. I really enjoyed it, and I hope our listeners did too. keep listening to us, keep joining us. And did we mention our Instagram page, Jeroen?
The Infected NL on Instagram. Follow us and give us a shout out if you listen to this. Let us know what you thought. Let us know what you want us to play, and we'll take a look into that, because we like taking tips, if not from each other, then from our fans. Thank you for listening. We are The Infected, and we're so glad to be back.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening, guys.
See you soon, brother. 2 weeks.
Indeed. Until next time.
Stay strange.